We talked about fasting. And by the way, we have our regular questions and answers tonight. But we talked about fasting throughout the Bible. Today we want to talk about fasts in the New Testament. Not fasting, but fasts. Passages that use the word fast, like the one we just read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So we're not talking about missing meals this morning. We're talking about various exhortations that we have in the scriptures about holding fast to something. Now, you might think that there's just one word that would be used for something like this, but not in this case. There are six different words that are translated fast that are incorporated into what we're talking about this morning. None of those Greek words has an English word that derives from it, and so we won't mention what each of them are, but let's take a quick run-through of some of the words that are used. The first Greek word that we wanted to mention is the one that we just read from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. We're to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. And that means we grasp it in a way that we cannot be made to let go of it. You know, usually in a football game, the defensive player tries to poke the football out of the arm of the running back, or in some cases, the quarterback. I knew Mylan would like that picture. I think that's from last year's Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. But that's the job of the defensive player, to dislodge the ball. Well, Satan is trying to dislodge our confession of hope and faith from us. We cannot allow him to succeed. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Well, let's just read that one. We're going to look at these a little bit more in detail later as we go through the list of passages. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." And so we see that we are the house, we are the church, we are the kingdom, if we hold fast that confession of faith, steadfast and rejoicing and firm to the end. Also, we become partakers of Christ if we keep our confidence steadfast to the end. That's in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Well, that's the first word out of the six that is translated that way, and that's most of the passages that go with that word. There is a second word translated fast, and usually this word is translated keep, but once it is translated hold fast. And we'll get to that word in just a few moments. The third word appears more than 700 times in the New Testament. There aren't that many words with that many appearances, but this is one of them. However, usually it is translated has or have. It's just the common word that is translated that. However, in this one verse, which is 2 Timothy 1:13, those definitions are too mild. Every major translation has a stronger word than has or have in this passage. They might have keep, they might have hold, they might have retain, but the King James and the New King James have the strongest rendering which is, of course, again, hold fast the pattern. We'll look at that verse a little bit later. The fourth word that is translated fast is used in Titus chapter 1 and verse 19, and it's used in connection with the work of elders. We'll look at that in a moment. Very quickly, the fifth and sixth fast words are both found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. And we'll notice that as we go through it in just a few moments. So now we've commented briefly on the six different words, and now we want to look at the individual passages and where they are found. But now that you know there are six different words, we're not going to distinguish between them. I'm sure there are shades of meaning. None of these words are related. They're all different Greek words, but they're all translated fast. So now we're going to devote our attention to the things that we ought to hold fast to. The first one is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. So we're going to be thumbing through the New Testament looking at several of these passages this morning. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not become entangled again with a yoke of bondage." He is talking about the liberty of the gospel versus the bondage of the law of Moses. And of course, you know that the Judaizing teachers wanted to bring Christians back to the law and back, therefore, into bondage. Peter even refers it to that in the Jerusalem conference of Acts chapter 15. Paul says, don't allow them to do that. Stand fast in the liberty that you have. Don't let someone try to make you a slave to the law of Moses or to their opinions. You know, the same thing occurs today when people try to impose their opinions on someone else. You should stand fast in the liberty that the gospel gives you. If God requires something, then we need to do it. If man requires something, that's something else. Jesus got in a lot of trouble. Well, he didn't get in trouble. They troubled themselves, basically. But they were wanting to insist that he keep their opinions. And he refused to do it. He went by the law of God, and he stood fast in the liberty that the system he was bringing with him had. And we need to do likewise. Don't let somebody try to intimidate or bully you with opinions. But, of course, if it's the Word of God, then we want to submit to that. So stand fast in your liberty. Number two is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. In this passage, and you might be surprised at this a little bit, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions." Whoa, what? Is Paul actually writing that? Jesus spent half of his time talking about the futility of keeping Jewish traditions. But Paul's not talking about Jewish traditions. Notice what he says. "Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." Christianity, once it established the truth, those things become traditions. But those are not traditions of men. Those are traditions of God. And so Paul writes to hold fast to the traditions, those truths which you were taught. Now, he had previously written something along those lines in the first letter to Thessalonica. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively works in you. So when Paul was there and preached to them, he preached to them the truths of the gospel system, and then they were to stand fast in those truths, which now had become traditions. God didn't say every week you can change and do something different. He established certain things according as he wanted in worship. He established certain things that he wanted according to how we serve him. And so we're to stand fast in those traditions. The way Solomon put it in Proverbs 23 was, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Once a person is willing to compromise a little bit, it becomes easier to compromise more and more. Well, let's go to number three. We're holding fast to the traditions. Number three is Titus 1:9. We said we'd come back to this. And this is the one addressed to elders in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, where we read, holding fast, this is one of the qualifications, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, part of the work of elders is to guard the flock. The flock is going to come under attack from various wolves. Remember, Jesus warned about that. He warned about wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7 and verse 15. Likewise, there are those who are going to come and try to break away sheep from the flock. And so elders are to be able to hold fast to the faithful word and use it to show the error of those who are false teachers and to convict those people. So that is something that elders must be able to hold fast to, the truth of God. Number four, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. This is the one that is usually translated keep, but everybody puts something stronger here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, which reads, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is, of course, not addressed to elders as Titus 1:9 was, but is addressed to Timothy as an evangelist. He likewise has an obligation to hold fast to the pattern of sound words. It's both the responsibility of preachers and elders to hold fast to the pattern of sound words and be able to refute those who are in error and who would cause the sheep to stumble. So the pattern of sound words, healthy words, is that which causes people to grow and to be ready for heaven. These are words of truth, not of error. Now we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, where Paul gives this exhortation. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. We must hold fast to the gospel itself. Why would that make any difference? Remember what Paul discussed in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Some were already being removed from the gospel, moved away from the gospel. That's why we have this exhortation to hold fast to the gospel. One can only be saved by holding fast to the word of truth, which we heard and obeyed. But there are several false gospels, and we cannot give our time and attention to them, knowing that they contradict what we were taught. Being obedient to God is obeying the gospel and the ongoing doctrines that are associated with the gospel. Now, speaking of that, let's go to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. In Revelation chapter 3, we have Jesus with messages for his seven churches in Asia Minor. And we read in this one in connection with the church at Sardis. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I will come upon you. This message was addressed to a congregation that had a name that it was alive, but it was dead. And they needed to repent from where they were. And they needed to remember how they received the gospel. Initially, how do most people receive the gospel initially? With joy. Remember how many passages he went on his way rejoicing in Acts chapter 8, verse 39? There is joy that is involved when someone knows that sins are actually forgiven. We receive the gospel with enthusiasm. We received it with eagerness to share it with others. But somehow, over a period of time, in the church at Sardis, they had lost all of that. They needed to remember how they had and hold fast to that. Keep all that you once had. Be steadfast in all that. Don't let Satan make you fumble the ball. Restore all of that, what you need to repent and get back to the attitude you once had in your reception of the gospel. Well, let's go to number 7, which is also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, before the letters to the seven churches. At the introduction of the book, we read, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things," that is, hold fast. This is another word that's sometimes used in place of hold fast. "And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." One must not only know the truth, but he must keep what he has learned. He must hold fast to what he has learned. As time goes on and people drift away from the way they received the gospel and what they have known and learned of the truth, they just keep falling further and further away. And eventually they're falling away altogether. You've got to stop that process. Jesus says in Revelation 1, 3 and 3, 3. Now we want to, for number 8, go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is another one of the passages where hold fast is translated keep. Actually, there are many, many more, but I just picked a couple of very significant ones of this type. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now this, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know, you run into people all the time. Oh, I love God. Oh, I love Jesus. Why aren't you keeping any of the commandments? Well, I don't believe in that. I just love God. Well, John says you don't. This person might actually sincerely believe that, but it's not the truth. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, if we hold fast to the commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep the commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He may not be intending to be a liar, but he's not speaking the truth when he says that. And so we must hold fast his commandments, or we cannot say that we know God. Number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. This is one of the final exhortations that Paul gives in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And so that's in the midst of four exhortations. And again, stand fast in the faith. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Here we have a plea to stand fast in unity. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. These are not casual commitments. We have a casual society, which is reflected in a lot of things, and in particular by being very casual with the Bible, being very casual with the church, being very casual with religious topics. For most people, it's, oh, I don't care what you believe, whatever, it's fine with me. Don't want to get excited about it. I don't expect I'll be going to worship two or three times a week. I don't want to be fanatical, you know. So everybody has a casual outlook. But that's not what we're dealing here. And some have a very casual outlook toward unity. In fact, it's so casual they don't think about it hardly at all. I'm not talking about here. I think we have a commitment to unity here. But there are many other congregations that do not, and where members are not behaving this way. So again, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel and stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The church does not belong to any one of us. It belongs to Christ, and we are privileged to be part of it. And we need to be working together. We need to be planning things together. We need to be spreading the gospel together. So we need to stand fast in the unity that we have. Even when there's no division, this is still an excellent exhortation that Paul gives us. Next, we want number 11. We already read this one, hold fast our confidence, steadfast to the end. Here's one that says basically the same thing in Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Hold fast our confession. We all confess that we are believers, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We've all made that commitment. We need to hold fast to that confession. We need to hold fast to the hope that we had. We looked at that at the outset, Hebrews 10:23 and 3:6. So let's go on to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. They were to hold fast to his name. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, this is another one of those letters to the seven churches. And this one just happens to be written to the church at Smyrna, who was undergoing persecution. And in fact, there was opposition. There were some there who were guilty of blasphemy. The Jews he calls a synagogue of Satan. I'm sure they didn't have that up over their door. Welcome to the synagogue of Satan. But that's what they were in reality. That's not what they claimed to be, but that's what they were in reality. And we know because Jesus is the one who said it, and he knew their hearts. But he talks about having tribulation then in verse 10. And by the time we get to verse 13, we read, and this is to the church at Pergamos, I know your condition. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. This is even worse than the synagogue of Satan, isn't it? His throne is here. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. So here we have two congregations. Both have problems with Satan in the midst of the community. One in a synagogue of Satan. One is where Satan dwells. It's his headquarters, so to speak. But you have not denied my name. You've held fast to my name. And that would also relate to the confession that we talked about, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They held fast to his name and were praised because of it. Let's go next to number 15, and that is Philippians 4:1, which simply says, stand fast in the Lord. And then finally, number 16, Revelation 2 and verse 18, they were to hold fast to what they had. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience. And as for your works, the latter are more than the first. Later on, he tells them to hold fast to the good things that they still had. There were some things that were not so good. They weren't to hold fast to those, but they were to hold fast to the things that they had that were good. Now, if you do all of these things, if you are holding fast and being steadfast in all the things we've been talking about here, in his name, in your faith, in your hope, in unity, all of those things, you will probably be able to do this. Evaluate, test, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. If you have that kind of commitment to Jesus Christ, to the Word, to the traditions, the truths that you have been delivered to, then you will be able to do this, to discern properly between what is good and what is evil, and to hold fast to that which is good. And you will be able to encourage others. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. For now we live, now that's a pretty strong statement. For now we live, Not sure what all that includes. We have motivation to live. We have motivation to go on. We have motivation to do right. We are built up. Read into that whatever you think legitimately belongs there. But therefore we live if you stand fast in the Lord. You see what an encouragement it is to others? If congregations and individuals are standing fast in the Lord, you will accomplish a lot more than maybe you ever imagined you could to be among those who are standing fast in the Lord. Now, we want to look at one more from Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. If a running back allows the ball to be punched out of his hands, maybe he or one of his teammates will recover the fumble, but most likely the other team will. But we're not talking about losing possession of a football. We're talking about losing possession of eternal life, losing possession of your soul. It's the worst thing that could happen. Don't lose the possession of these things. Stand fast against Satan. Hold fast to all the things we have looked at, the gospel, the truth, the hope. Don't lose the possession of that which is most valuable. Don't lose your crown. Don't lose the crown of life that Jesus has prepared for those who do hold fast in all of these ways. And stay close to the cross. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to salvation. Stay close to the church where you can be encouraged and built up. If there are any here this morning who have been drifting away, are you losing possession? Don't allow that to happen. Reaffirm. Remember how you believed and hold fast to that. If you need to return to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we invite you to. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can't hold fast to the gospel because you've never obeyed it. But you can if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with him in baptism so that your sins can be washed away. If you need to respond to the invitation, please let us know while we stand and sing for your benefit.